Hi, I'm Chris Difford from Squeeze.
And I am Glenn Tilbrook from Squeeze.
42 years. And in the end, there was a real impetus behind what the name was. It was a feeling. It was an admiration, was it not?
An admiration for the Velvet Underground, but it also was an example of our humour, because we thought it was funny to name ourselves after the Velvet Underground's worst album, one which didn't feature Lou Reed or John Cale. That made us chuckle at the time, and it still makes me chuckle slightly.
The sense of humour. You came out from moment one. You know, if you look at track one on what was called here UK Squeeze, right? And some of the names, if people didn't know anything about you and the music didn't provide, and they just, as so many people do today in algorithms, you know, pair things by track names, right? The sense of humor could have been lost, right?
I think by nature of who we are as individuals and as a band, we like a good sense of humor. And when we were starting out, I think the sense of humour that we had then was a good tool to get us through the youth of our existence as Squeeze, I think. Having said that, we take our music extremely seriously. But there's always a nice place to go with a bit of humour, I think.
I won't pick a percentage, but such a high percentage of the write-ups about Squeeze are, well, you know, they had all of this in the UK, but in the US they were, quote, never as popular. Now, in my world, you were always extremely popular, maybe because I grew up in an era and started in a place where I heard you from moment one, and this radio stations that I was either on or listened to, you were all over the radio here. Is that perception versus reality? Because to me, I think you did just fine here in the US, wouldn't you say?
I'd say that we had pockets of success in the US, and they sort of shifted as time went on. We never really got the whole place at once. I think that's what happened with Squeeze, and there could be many reasons for that, but The truth of it is that I'm very happy that there are people here who turn up to see us and who like us enough to buy or listen to our records.
We do have a dedicated following, and here we are doing these shows, Glenn and I, together. And afterwards we sign things at the merch table, and people always come up and say, I saw you in 1982, or I saw you in 1994, or I remember this album and I remember that album, and people are locked into the history of Squeeze in that really lovely way. So I feel very grateful that we have that following. I don't think, you know, the kind of stadium following that you're alluding to is a kind of, you couldn't get them all into a merch stand anyway.
So this that's on the table, this has been, well, it's been quite a while. I think you started talking about a new Squeeze album, and I probably have the year wrong, but maybe 2008 or so is when, you know, things started, you know, people started saying, oh, there could be a new Squeeze album. So now, was Cradle to the Grave, the television show, the excuse for the record per se?
It was the first seed for the album. I mean, we were thinking of recording. We had done some recording, in actual fact. Cradle to the Grave, the lead track, had already been put to tape. But it became the seed for us to focus on the whole album, and it gave us the opportunity to go in the studio, work on new songs, and sort of rebirth some new creativity, really.
Were the 60s and 70s, you know, there's so much to the 60s and 70s, right? So when people talk about stories, you know, in different countries, different things happened in the 60s and 70s, but in terms of these stories, were these really good years for you? Do you look at them in kind of an amalgamation of any sort, or do you look at them as individual tales that added up to what this became?
I think, you know, with the benefit of hindsight now, it was an extremely creative time to grow up. For me, listening to the music of the 60s, you know, provides a constant source and a constant backdrop to everything I do. that's always there with me. Specifically, you know, we were growing up in a post World War II society. There was a lot of bomb damage, which I think is extraordinary now, but as a kid you just accept the environment you're in, and it's, you know, it was interesting and fun, but it was, you know, it was a society that was very slowly on the mend from a tremendous amount of collateral damage.
You can hear a Squeeze song from a mile away. So when you talk about, you know, one-upping yourself, there's no real reason to do that, right?
I think it's soft competition.
Soft competition, I like that.
I don't think you can compete with your past because it's the past. I mean, you can only live in the present. And I think that's what we've done on this album. We've recorded a record that says where we are now, you know, after all this break in, you know, us not making records, to come back out and make a record that stands up on its own two feet and for people to really love it is very gratifying. So it's not really, you know, you can't compete with Up the Junction, Call for Cats, songs like that. You just deliver whatever you can deliver on that day, and we've delivered a fantastic album.
I think it feels like us. I think there are a few things certainly that I learned when we did the album Spot the Difference, where we recreated some of our early recordings. And when we were doing that record, we had to think really hard about what the circumstances were, where we were, and how we made the records. And a lot of the memories I had of that were actually, you know, record making was comparatively simple if you have a bunch of people who can play, who can knock around an arrangement until it's good, and then capture that and overdub minimally on that. So really, when we started this record, you know, I've gone all around the Pro Tools houses, and I think that technology is a fantastic thing. I'm all for it, but I wanted to, you know, use Pro Tools as a tape machine and then overdub and then do some editing and stuff that you do that's really cool that you can do on Pro Tools. But really, the album is about capturing the band, and that's we've got a great band, you know, with our songs and that, it sounds like Squeeze.
When you sit down, the two of you, and you talk about a Squeeze song, do you ever, and this is not the how you compose question, because it's been out there quite a bit that, you know, that lyrics have been shared a lot more, you know, on this record. So that's out there a lot. But do you ever look at each other and know what the filter is for a Squeeze song? Have there ever been any elements that you've said, is there a filter? Is there something that this has to pass its way through or be ironed so it's beautifully ironed and you know, and pressed? Is there anything that you ever really talk to each other and go, no, 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 that's not a Squeeze song? You're smiling.
Well, only because, you know, I think with any writing team, where there's a process of two people coming together, amalgamating ideas, and what comes out at the end is normally a shared vision and a shared product of what those two people will deliver, you know, whether it's Lennon McCartney or, you know, Glenn and I, or, you know, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, whoever it would be, you know, whoever songwriters you're talking about. And I don't think there's, I think there's good, you know, we do, Glenn in particular is very good at policing the sort of arrangements and songs that go on the record, and thankfully any squids get thrown back in the sea, you know. So, you know, we're very good at sort of knowing what is good and what isn't, and what is good is Squeeze.
And you know, I mean, obviously Jules was part of the band, but as a duo, duos notoriously make beautiful music together, but don't always get along. Everly Brothers, Simon and Garfunkel, and the stories start to come out along the way. And people spend a lot of time talking about all the time you didn't spend together, but then they go, oh, but they're back together suddenly and they're making music. And what they don't talk about is that all of this is a process, and that it's not like any duo sits there next to each other on the tour bus 24 hours a day and says, let's make music.
I think that, you know, if I go back to when Squeeze split up the second time, that was Chris's decision, and I wouldn't have taken that decision at that time. However, now I'm extremely grateful that he did, because the places that we both went to by ourselves meant, certainly from my point of view, I learned a lot, and I know that Chris learned a lot as well. We've brought all that back to the table now. So you can't, in a way, it's really difficult to grow and stretch when you're part of a partnership like that. You have to do some stuff individually before you get to the next place, and that's where we are now.
I've had the Stripes on. Wonderful, wonderful guys. Pretty wild, pretty crazy. And then I saw them at South by Southwest, and they were again wild, and they came up to me and said, I hear we're going to be chatting. Boy, are you in for a treat. You know, and there was a lot of swagger, tons and tons of swagger. So now, of course, with the knowledge I have, I go back last night and I look at your earlier videos, right? And I look at the two of you and I think, wait a minute, that same swagger. So you've had fun with these guys, haven't you?
The thing that I really love about observing them and being with them is the springiness they have in their tail that only youth can deliver. And it's like sometimes when you watch a football match and you see someone limbering up, I'm talking about soccer, you see someone limbering up at the side of the pitch, they've got this kind of bounciness and this kind of animal instinct to go out on the pitch and like be the best they possibly can for the manager and for the team. And when I watch a young band like that, that's what I see, and that's an inspiring thing to see at this end of one's career, if you like.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then having you pick four or five songs just off the cuff in between by anybody you want to play.